We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
Today, the implications of a worldwide deal on hydrofluorocarbons. We'll bring our guest in just a minute here, but NPR meteorologist Paul Huttner joins me. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Carrie.
Let's explain what these HFCs are and why the use of them are soaring, Paul.
You remember that old TV commercial, Pork, the Other White Meat?
I do remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah, well, the HFCs, the other greenhouse gas, or one of them anyway, in addition to methane. Hydrofluorocarbons, primarily released from air conditioning units, carry. Currently, they put the equivalent CO2 of about 300 coal-fired power plants into the atmosphere each year. So you add that up, it's a 1.6 billion additional units, AC units, that are expected to be switched on by 2050. And this agreement, if it goes into effect, over time could reduce the global temperature rise by about a half a degree Celsius through this century. So if you think about it, the goal of 2 degrees Celsius could be maybe as much as a quarter of that.
Wow.
So it's smaller than carbon dioxide, but it's significant.
But it's the next significant thing to get a handle on.
It is.
Okay. Let's bring in Paul Bledsoe. He's a former top climate official in the Clinton White House and president of the consulting firm Bledsoe & Associates. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
Doing well. Paul, the global deal was reached in Rwanda over the weekend, and it requires that 100 countries, including the U.S. and China, start taking action by 2024. Will you give me a sense of what we would have to do nationally, what other countries would have to do nationally to get a handle on these HFCs?
Well, I was in Kigali for a week, and it was really amazing that 197 countries agreed to phase out these chemicals completely, eliminating one of six greenhouse gases. The truth is that average consumers will see absolutely no change. As a matter of fact, switching out these chemicals, HFCs, and using less powerful global warming chemicals will increase efficiency as we implement better technology and end up saving everybody money on their electricity bills. So there's a remarkable amount of good news here, and it shows that we can actually get a handle on the climate problem if we're smart about it.
Okay, but I want to understand what you're saying. Are you saying it is simply updating air conditioning technology, which would have a big effect on this, or what else?
It's both. It's the switching out the chemicals, replacing HFCs with other chemicals that are much less global warmingly powerful.
That are used in
HFCs,
these.
Okay. HFCs are 1,400 times more powerful than CO2 in the atmosphere, warming the atmosphere. We're going to be replacing them with chemicals that are 10 times or less more powerful than CO2. So huge benefit. We'll get half a degree Celsius warming benefit just from replacing these super greenhouse chemicals. Then we potentially can get another half a degree Celsius warming avoided by improving air conditioning. There was a study done by Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory that showed that if we adopt around the world just about half of the energy efficiency in new refrigeration and air conditioning that's available, we could avoid hundreds of new coal-fired power plants and reduce electricity costs in places all over the world and reduce warming by another half a degree Celsius over this century. So this is a very, very large bite out of the climate problem.
Yeah, Paul?
Paul, good morning. Paul Huttner here. Good to talk to you this morning. Bigger picture, interesting case study with me. We just moved into a newer home a couple of years ago, and it's amazing how much energy we are saving in our heating bill. It was $400 a month during the big months in winter. It's now about $100 a month because it uses passive solar, it's better building materials, all of the above. So to go back to air conditioning, it's just one way to cool our homes. How much opportunity is there for more technological advances in sort of creating net energy zero homes, passive solar, new technologies coming online that could reduce, our energy use overall?
It's a great point, Paul. There's been a revolution in our ability to heat, cool, transport, and electrify ourselves, largely based on efficiency. So take California's economy, for example. About 20 years ago, they decided they were going to make efficiency a priority. California's economy is twice as large as it was in 1995, yet they use the same amount of electricity. This is a revolution happening around the world, and it can save consumers money. And this effort to make air conditioning more efficient is a big part of it, because air conditioning is the largest new demand globally for electricity as developing countries like India and others around the world try to cool themselves in a warming planet.
Paul, that's actually what I wanted to ask you about. If you've got a country like India where people are moving into the middle class, and as you say, part of that means being able to afford these kinds of things, but you can't afford the latest technology. I mean, what do you do about more air conditioners going online, but not at the level of technology that you were talking about?
So fortunately, the Indian government and Prime Minister Modi recognize this problem, and they're going to offer subsidies for Indians to afford the more efficient air conditioning units, which, by the way, have a payback period of a year to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
so that the consumer gets the money back within just a few years, so that the government will provide upfront subsidies for people to afford these. This has already happened in India on LED lighting, and they've seen hundreds of millions of LED lights bought by consumers across Indian society. Huge, huge success that has obviated the need for dozens of coal fire plants already. The same thing can happen with air conditioning.
Paul, have you been in touch with the Pope lately? I know you've advised him on climate issues.
No, I have not advised him directly, although I'm meeting with a number of people later today here in San Diego who have. And it's interesting you say that, because I think there's a recognition that there is a social justice angle on climate change. In a warming world where storms impacts agricultural production, all are going to be under great duress and stress, we need to recognize that the most vulnerable need to be protected, as well as the rest of us, from extreme climate change.
Paul, I thank you for the time very much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Carrie. Thank you, Paul, too.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Bledsoe from the consulting firm Bledsoe & Associates. One other thing, Paul Huttner, that you're watching this week.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just listen to the news this morning. Minnesota Power shutting a coal plant down earlier than expected in Cohasset, and the new XL Energy solar array coming online north of the Twin Cities. So this energy transition continues to happen. It's happening faster than people thought it would, Carrie. Something to watch going forward.
I'll see you next week, and that's the ClimateCast for this week.